Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Monday, and God wants us to remember that nothing can happen to us today that we and God together cannot handle. Oh, just hearing those words should make you relax a little bit. Yeah, I know it takes a leap of faith. Certain days it takes a big leap of faith, because in some days the challenges that we face seem overwhelming, seem no way out, seem like they're going to devastate us. But you know what? You need a dynamic memory here. God got you through the last crisis. Crises don't come to stay, they come to pass. You wouldn't be listening to this program right now if God had not gotten you through the last crisis. I didn't say it was easy, I'm saying God is there for you. And that's why every Monday I'm going to talk about how to deal with worry. If you don't know how to fight worry, you're going to die young. Let's start praying. Come Holy Spirit, replace the tension within me with a holy relaxation. Replace the turbulence within me with a sacred calm. Replace the anxiety within me with a quiet confidence. Replace the fear within me with a strong faith. Replace the bitterness within me with the sweetness of grace. Replace the darkness in me with a gentle light. Replace the coldness within me with a loving warmth. Replace the night within me with your day. Replace the winter within me with your spring. Come, Holy Spirit. So what God is asking us to do, I didn't say it was easy, God is asking us to trust. One of the things that happens in my prayer life when I'm quietly trying to be attentive to God, this statement rises up out of my prayer life, and I know it's from God. And the statement is, I love you, Scott, you're going to have to trust me. I love you, Scott, you're going to have to trust me. And that's true of all of us, right? Now, because it sounds like I can be a Pollyanna, I can be somebody who's not in touch with the realities of challenges of life, which is not true. A traveling preacher knows what all the problems in life are like. I've been sharing, and I'll continue to do that all this year on Monday, a story about how somebody overcame worry in his or her life, okay? And the person I want to talk to you about today, share the story, is a man named Edward S. Evans. He lived in Detroit, Michigan, and he almost killed himself with worry before he learned that life is in the living, in the tissue of every day and every hour. Well, Edward S. Evans was brought up in poverty, made his first money by selling newspapers, then worked as a grocery clerk. Later, with seven people dependent upon him for bread and butter, he got a job as an assistant librarian. Small as the pay was, he was afraid to quit. 8 years passed before he could summon up the courage to start out on his own. But once he started, he built up an original investment of 55 borrowed dollars into a business of his own that made him $20,000 a year. Now, this is going back a while, okay? Then came a frost, a killing frost. He endorsed a big note for a friend, and the friend went bankrupt. Quickly on top of that disaster came another. The bank in which he had all his money collapsed. He not only lost every cent he had, but was plunged into debt for $16,000. His nerves couldn't take it. I couldn't sleep or eat, he told me. I became strangely ill. Worry and nothing but worry, he said, brought on this illness. One day as I was walking down the street, I fainted and fell on the sidewalk. I was no longer able to walk. I was put to bed and my body broke out in boils. These boils turned inward until just lying in bed was agony. I grew weaker every day. Finally, my doctor told me that I had only 2 more weeks to live. I was shocked. I drew up my will and then lay back in bed to await my end. No use now to struggle or worry. I gave up, relaxed, and went to sleep. I hadn't slept 2 hours in succession for weeks. But now, with my earthly problems drawing to an end, I slept like a baby. My exhausting weariness began to disappear. My appetite returned. I gained weight. A few weeks later, I was able to walk with crutches. 6 weeks later, I was able to go back to work. I'd been making $20,000 a year, but I was glad now to get a job for $30 a week. I got a job selling blocks to put behind the wheels of automobiles when they are shipped by freight. I had learned my lesson now. No more worry for me. No more regret about what had happened in the past. No more dread of the future. I concentrated all my time, energy, and enthusiasm into selling those blocks. He shot up fast now. In a few years, he was president of the company, the Evans Products Company. It had been listed on the New York Stock Exchange for years. In fact, if you ever fly over Greenland, you may land on Evans Field, a flying field named in his honor. Yet Edward S. Evans never would have achieved these victories if he hadn't learned to live in day-tight compartments. You know how I talk about that all the time. You have to live in a day-tight compartment, meaning take it one day at a time. The rule is to jam tomorrow and jam yesterday, but never jam today. Most of us are like that, stewing about yesterday's jam and worrying about tomorrow's jam, instead of spreading today's jam thick on our bread right now. Even the great French philosopher Montaigne made that mistake. My life, he said, has been full of terrible misfortunes, most of which never happened. And that's probably true of you and me. Dante, the famous Italian writer, wrote, "Think that this day will never dawn again." That's why life is slipping away with incredible speed. You know that. The older we get, we feel the speed. We're racing through space at a rate of 19 miles every second. Today is our most precious possession. It is our only sure possession. That was the philosophy of Lowell Thomas. He had written the words of Psalm 118. And framed it on the walls of his broadcasting studio, where he would see them often. Here are the words. "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." The writer John Ruskin had on his desk a small piece of stone on which was carved one word. And what do you think the one word was? Today. Maybe we should do that, dear listeners. Okay, I'm going to share with you a poem written by Sir William Osler. He kept it on his desk. Actually, he didn't write the poem. It was written by the famous Indian dramatist Kalidasa. The title of the poem is "Salutation to the Dawn." Here's the poem. "Look to this day, for it is life, the very life of life. In its brief course lie all the verities and realities of your existence, the bliss of growth, the glory of action, the splendor of beauty. For yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. But today well lived makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day. Such is the salutation to the dawn." Well, in one way or another, dear listeners, I make this point, especially this year, since I'm devoting this year to the whole idea of worry, I make this point over and over and over again on Mondays. If you don't know how to fight worry, you're going to die. You're going to die young. And it's not going to be a pretty death. You have to be willing right here, right now, to say with me, I'm letting go of yesterday. I'm not touching tomorrow. I'm going to live right here, right now. You and I can put up with anything for one day. If we started to think that we would have to put up with this for the rest of our lives, we wouldn't get out of the bed in the morning. We'd be a basket case. We'd go around absolutely depressed. No, you can't do that, all right? Jesus doesn't want that. He says in the story about the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, don't worry. That's why every once in a while I like to quote this poem. Said the robin to the sparrow, I would surely like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father, such as cares for you and me. And that's where the rubber hits the road. That's where we make the leap of faith. That's where we have to really trust that God cares for us. He will be there for us. Not with a magic wand, not necessarily to make our life easy, but to really give us the peace the world cannot give and the joy that no one can take away. Here's today's food for thought. Benjamin Franklin wrote this. The U.S. Constitution does not guarantee happiness, only the pursuit of it. You have to catch up to it yourself. Amen? Amen. You know who I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for people who lost their sight. My mother had macular degeneration. She lost her vision, central vision in both eyes. She could only see out of the sides of her eyes. Losing your vision in whatever way, shape, or form is a very frightening thing. Please pray for those people, okay? May God help them. My small attempt to make you smile or laugh. A man proudly said to his wife, I am sure that our son gets his intelligence from me. The wife said, well, very likely, because I still have mine. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Love to hear from you. Let me know you do listen to the program. Let me know if you find it helpful. And then there's your prayer intentions. When I say to you, I will pray about your prayer intentions, I mean it. I don't say that glibly. I take your prayer intentions to God. I will be your prayer partner. Together, we will ask God to bring about the blessings that you most need in your life or for the person you want me to pray about. Visit my website at fatherscott.com. A lot of information on that I think you'll enjoy. Spell out Father. And if you can give me a check to keep my hospital open in Oaxaca, Mexico, make the check out to TASH, Tash, Inc., send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light, and where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord.